Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. One of the most important state offices in Missouri is that of Attorney General. And with current Attorney General Chris Coster running for governor, the contest is between Republican Josh Hawley and Democrat Teresa Hensley. Reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum, who host our Politically Speaking podcast, talked with both of the candidates, and we bring you excerpts of both conversations today. First, Republican Josh Hawley, a law professor at the University of Missouri at Columbia. He was first asked to what he attributed his large primary win over State Senator Kurt Schaefer.
Well, I think it says that people are tired of the political class and that they are tired of the political establishment. And, people want someone who's going to stand up and fight for them, who has not spent his or her entire life running for one office after another. And I think that is exactly the same case that we're going to be making. That's a big contrast between my opponent and me in the general election.
Yeah. Now, I know Hensley already is highlighting the fact that she's been in the courtroom a lot, and that you have not, which you had acknowledged during the primary. And there's also been some talk about the fact, and this, again, this came up during the primary, but I think it becomes a bigger deal in the general election. Your ads so far, many of them have focused on you taking on Washington. And so some of the questions have been, from the critics, do we want the Attorney General doing that? Obviously, your supporters say, yes, we do. I'm just interested in why you decided to go that route and what sort of feedback are you getting about that?
Well, I think that facing Washington dysfunction and pushing back on Washington dysfunction and bureaucratic overreach is one of the most important things the next attorney general has to do in order to protect Missouri consumers and taxpayers and farmers and to improve our economy. I mean, the way I look at it, Joe, is we are 43rd out of 50th in overall economic growth in Missouri in the last 10 years nationwide. That number has got to change. That is a devastating number for Missourians and Missouri families. And part of what the AG has to do is when Washington is lawless and not abiding by statutes and out of control, the AG is supposed to do something about it.
Well, the AG is our chief law enforcement officer. How would that be dealing with our economic growth?
Well, take, for example, the Clean Power Plan that the present EPA is attempting to implement. They do not have congressional authority to do so. A series of attorneys general have brought suit to stop it. If this plan went through, Joe, it would double energy prices in our state. Now, imagine the effect on that to working families, to small businesses, to farms. Ditto for the EPA's efforts to regulate rainwater and water usage on farms. These are things that are devastating to our economy here in Missouri. And again, especially for small businesses and working families. And that kind of dysfunction out of Washington has just been an avalanche. And the next AG has got to be able to stand up to it. My opponent doesn't have the experience. It doesn't have the desire to do that. I will.
What do you think about the idea of the Attorney General being the entity to investigate any situation where a police officer kills somebody?
Well, Jason, we do have conflict of interest statutes on the books speak to that in the current environment. I am leery of any automatic conflict that any time there's a police officer that it would take that case away from the local prosecutor. And here's why I'm leery of it. It's because of accountability. We elect our approximately 114 county prosecutors or prosecuting attorneys, we call them in Missouri. We elect them and we do that in order to hold them accountable because they have the primary responsibility to prosecute crime. Actually, they do, not the Attorney General. They're vested with criminal jurisdiction. And I'm very nervous about any statutory change that would move that authority away from the prosecuting attorneys and therefore the people and centralize it in Jefferson City. Because I think what you get is a loss of accountability. They become one of those things that, whose decision was it? Well, it wasn't really mine. You know, the office reviewed it. We don't really know who to hold accountable. And so when you have situations where you think, this person ought to have been prosecuted. Well, you go to the county prosecutor and she says, it was the attorney general's decision. The attorney general says, we investigate. And I think what we want.
It's interesting because that view is actually very similar to the current attorney general who I think told me flat out he's opposed to something like that for that very reason, the accountability aspect.
That's
and I
right.
think that U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill agrees with that too. So this is probably a rare instance where you agree with
bipartisan agreement.
Now, there's the possibility that you could end up being attorney general and you may have a Democrat, Chris Coster, as governor. Now, the last 8 years, Coster and Jay Nixon, both Democrats, they weren't necessarily best of friends, but they often did see, were like-minded on many issues. And so if you're elected and Koster's elected, how would you approach dealing with the governor of the opposing party, especially on some issues like expanding Medicaid, where he's on one side and you're on the other?
Well, you know, I have to be faithful to my oath that I would take if, as Attorney General, to uphold the laws of Missouri, the Constitution of Missouri, and the Constitution of the United States. And I take that oath independently. I do not work. The AG does not work for the governor or for the legislature, for that matter. The AG works directly for the people of Missouri and is accountable to them. So that to say, I'd have to chart – I'm obliged to chart an independent course for the office if I am elected. I would hope to work with whomever the governor is. Of course, I anticipate it's going to be Eric Greitens. But whomever the governor is, I would hope that we would have a good working relationship. I certainly see no reason to think otherwise if it is Attorney General Koster. But, you know, my responsibility is to execute my office for the people of Missouri, and I can't allow the governor and his preferences to sway me regardless of who the governor is. That's true if it's a Republican too.
Well, I want to ask this. This is more of a general question, but if you are Attorney General, you are going to be seen as the top law enforcement officer in the state of Missouri. And I think that with that title – and especially over the last 2 years where there has been this expose of this big divide between African Americans and law enforcement, people are going to look to you for leadership and guidance to help bridge that gap, so to speak. I'm interested in your philosophical approach to how you're going to make Missouri's African American citizens feel more comfortable with law enforcement, even if you're not the person who ends up effectuating policy. I want to know philosophically what you're going to do.
That's a great question. I think it begins by saying this, that it should not be in our state or anywhere, certainly not in our state, that because of the accident of your zip code, you may be subject to random acts of violence every day of your life, your whole life. In other words, it shouldn't be that just because you're born in some area that you just have to live with the fact that, you know what, I'm just going to be subject to violence my whole life, and somebody may take away from me everything that I have. That is wrong. And I think it is time that we got focused on, and it would be my job as Attorney General to focus on the fact that our mission is to make every neighborhood community in this city safe, or in this city, in this state safe, and to bring the benefits of the rule of law, peace, order, stability, to every neighborhood. And I would say that is a common – we ought to make common cause together. Missourians of all backgrounds, rural, urban, black, white, Republican, Democrat, because violence harms the most vulnerable among us. It harms the poor. It harms those with the least education. And it prevents people from moving up in life and making something of their life. So the way I see it is violence is our enemy. And we have to work together to make sure to bring the benefits of the rule of law to every community in the state, because every Missourian deserves it. And that's the kind of focus that I would have. And I think law enforcement should not be seen as the enemy. Law enforcement is a partner in the fight against violence. But as you allude to, Jay, I'm not naive. I mean, there are too many communities in the state who think that law enforcement is part of the problem of violence. And so we've got to work on redressing that. But we need to focus on that violence is the enemy. Violence is what is holding back too many people in these communities and our communities around the state.
Give me a sense of what your philosophical approach is going to be in the agricultural realm, and anything specifically you'd want to model your office to help farmers or people who work in the agriculture space.
Well, it's so important because agriculture is our number one industry, of course, in the state of Missouri. And as somebody who comes from a farming background himself, my one entire side of my family are farmers, still are, and have been since they came to this country. It's something I'm familiar with personally. And I think the Attorney General's office has got to do more in standing up for Missouri agriculture against the sort of dysfunction that we were talking about earlier, the EPA's dysfunction. I mean, I can't emphasize enough just how wacky these EPA regulations are and how unauthorized by statute they are. The EPA is well beyond its statutory bounds. So agriculture, Missouri agriculture, needs an Attorney General who's going to go to bat, intervene in the federal rulemaking process, go to court when necessary, and then also help here with agricultural conflicts in the state. And here's my philosophical view, Jason, and that is that farmers We should trust farmers. They are, in many instances, the best stewards of the land. So we need to enable them, empower them, cooperate with them. I think too often regulators see farmers as the enemy. You know, they think that they're stupid or that they don't have the right values in mind. That just isn't true, I don't think. And so the Attorney General needs to be someone who's advocating for farmers, for our farms, and heck, for our number one industry in the state.
Now, the states that have been challenging the EPA and other federal agencies on such issues have sort of a mixed bag of results. In many cases, they've spent a lot of time fighting them, a lot of money, but nothing's happened or they've lost. How do you feel that you could change that and not come under fire from critics who say that you're spending state money on going after windmills, in effect?
Well, you know, I think that in two cases in particular, two of the big ones, Waters of the United States, that's the one that regulates farmers' use of water on their land, and then the Clean Power Plan. In both of those cases, the state attorneys general have been successful. They've gotten injunctions. And I think that, look, this is what I do as a lawyer. I mean, my background is in federal law, appellate law, complex civil litigation. This is the bread and butter of the attorney general's office. And this goes back to one of my disagreements with my opponent. She has no experience, set aside standing up for farms, which she won't do, and she's in favor of more regulation. She doesn't have any experience in actually doing any of this. I do. And so I think that, you know, you've got to choose your cases wisely. You've got to litigate in a smart way. But I think that I could bring significant experience and leadership in that area.
Now, at this point, heading into the final weeks, do you expect to have do you expect things to get testier in the last few weeks?
Oh, I suspect they will. I suspect that that my opponent will not allow things to go as they are currently. So, you know, look, and part of politics, I'm a lawyer. As lawyers, we believe in the adversarial process. There's nothing wrong with having a good, vigorous discussion on the issues that we disagree on. She and I disagree on a number of things. You know, I think her background of constantly seeking office. I mean, my opponent has been running for office since she first graduated from law school. I think she's run 6 or 7 different times. You know, that I think is not the kind of background that the people of Missouri want or need. We've had attorneys general whose goal in life is to move on to the next thing. And I think we need something different. So we're going to prosecute those differences, I'm sure, in the coming weeks.
Prosecute those differences. What a way to segue to the we've asked you this question before, but one thing I'm sure she's going to say when she comes on the show is that she has experience as a prosecutor and you don't. And that's one of the reasons you, being Missouri voters, should elect her. I want you to respond to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, prosecuting crime is absolutely hugely important. That's why we elect our prosecuting attorneys. It's not really what the Attorney General's office does. She does not have the background that is relevant to running the Attorney General's office, which is federal courts, constitutional law, complex civil litigation, nor does she have the inclination to fight the fights that need to be fought in order to protect Missourians. The other thing I would say, Jason, though, is that, you know, she was appointed prosecutor as a political favor by Governor Holden after she and her family gave multiple campaign contributions to him, and then the voters fired her in 2014. So she's running for office based on experience that the voters said, or performance that her own voters said, wasn't very good.
But
she
was elected several times during that time span, though, right?
And also ran for multiple offices while she was prosecuting attorney. She ran for Congress. She ran for the state legislature. She may have run for judge in there. I mean, it's hard to keep up. But one of the things she said is that in one of her debates in 2012, she said, "I don't really have anything else to do." And, you know, voters took note of that. And so I think the voters who know her best and have seen her prosecutorial experience said, we're not in favor. You didn't do a very good job.
That's Republican Josh Hawley, candidate for Missouri Attorney General. He talked with political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum as part of our Politically Speaking podcast. In a moment, we hear from the Democrat in the race, Teresa Hensley. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. Now we hear from the Democrat vying to be Missouri Attorney General, Teresa Hensley. Political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum talked with Hensley for the Politically Speaking podcast. Hensley, who is a former Cass County prosecutor, was first asked why she thinks she won her primary bid.
Well, I think the message that we gave was important, and it is the same message in the general, that we have experience more than my opponent. The experience in the Attorney General's office, I think, matters to Missourians. They want to have someone in there who has been in a courtroom, has represented people, who has sat with victims, and I think the experience matters. I think it mattered in the primary, and it certainly matters in the general.
One thing that I noticed, though, was that your opponent, St. Louis County Assessor Jake Zimmerman, was very gracious after he lost and has actually penned several emails, not only endorsing you, but strongly endorsing you. That didn't happen, I think, with the Republican primary, because the Josh Hawley-Kurt Schaefer matchup took on a whole new level of rancor. How do you think that's going to help you, that, you know, the party seems to be coming together around you a lot better?
Well, no, Jake Zimmerman is a tremendous public servant. He's a wonderful young man. We had a great visit together here recently, and I appreciate his support tremendously. I look forward to what he has in his future in Missouri in politics, and we'll support him all along the way.
Now, we need to emphasize, we're talking about Democrats here. I don't think we've used the D word yet.
Yes.
But, you know, Missouri is an odd state. Because technically we often lately have gone for the Republican presidential, but then we have a mixed record as far as down ballot. Most of the statewide offices now are held by Democrats. Hillary Clinton's campaign just announced today they're putting in some money, about $500,000. And while it's geared towards the top of the ticket, it's GOTV efforts that actually, which means get out the vote, efforts that could help down ballot people such as yourself. And the attorney general's office is arguably the most important of the ones below
governor and U.S. Senate.
Yes. So I'm just interested in your take on whether or not it helps or hurts having kind of a solid party presence from the top down trying to help you and other Democrats.
Well, I think it certainly does. And I think it's good to be a woman on the ballot this year. So I'm happy to have that as well. I think that women voters are paying attention. And if they're paying attention to this race, they understand what's really at stake. You know, I have an opponent who would defund Planned Parenthood, who would has already said that he would overturn Roe versus Wade if he had the opportunity. He's against stem cell research. I think that women voters are paying attention, and they will matter in this race.
Now, so far you have been somewhat outspent, but it may change in the final weeks. How are you getting your message out? And of course, in the primary, you were outspent and you won anyway. So I'm just interested in your take on how you're approaching things in the final weeks.
Well, I think, again, if you have a good message and you are smart about getting that message out, and that's what we're doing, and so we may be outspent, but I think that if we spend our money wisely and we get it to the voters who need to hear it and they're paying attention, I think we win, and our message is better than my opponent's.
Now, one thing I've noticed is, and we talked about your race for Congress in 2012, I think that you actually are getting a lot of financial support from, you know, not only businesses, law firms, but also labor unions. So you're in a situation, unlike that other race, where you do have the financial wherewithal to get your message out. I've seen your television commercials many times. I watch the evening and morning news just to make sure that I see them. That must be gratifying that you're not, like, basically pinching for pennies and you actually have the resources to get your message out as a statewide candidate. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. I do think that we have some good resources. I have had some tremendous help from a good finance director, and so I am very fortunate to have the support that we have around the state, and I think that's important for voters to understand as well. My opponent raised $4 million from two sources. One gentleman from Joplin, David Humphreys, who is Mr. Right to Work for Less himself, and from the Republican Attorneys General. My contributions, a little over $2 million now, have come from over 1,000 donors. And that is a difference. I think voters should be concerned that there is one man who wants to own the Attorney General's office.
What are other issues that you are emphasizing? And as far as your record, being a bit more specific.
Yeah, let me talk about there's two things I think going on. And one of those is the experience. I've mentioned that tremendously, but it's because my opponent has never been in a Missouri courtroom, has never represented a client or sat with a victim. And not only do I have the 10 years as the elected Cass County prosecutor, which I'll talk about, but I had practiced law for 14 years in private practice before I got to the Attorney General's office, before I stepped foot in there. And in that time, I had appellate cases. As prosecutor, I had a case that I had to oust an elected official where I won that before the Missouri Supreme Court. So my opponent, who wants to talk about having done appellate work and having experience in civil litigation, I had that experience for 14 years before I walked into the prosecutor's office. And in the prosecutor's office, I had 21 murder convictions out of 21, hundreds of convictions for violent crimes like armed robbery and home invasion, and then over 500 cases of convictions on sexual assault, domestic violence, and child sex abuse. Those cases are not easy cases, nor are the murder cases. And so I'm very proud of the litigation work that I have. And I have hired and trained and supervised attorneys to go into trial. The Attorney General's office has over 180 attorneys in that office going into court around the state day in and day out. And I think it matters that there's someone with experience.
Now, your opponent has, okay, there's two key pitches that he has regarding you. One, which you've alluded to already, but where he has emphasized his appellate experience and says that that's what the Attorney General actually spends most time doing as opposed to being in the courtroom, and he says you lack that. And B, he has emphasized that he will take on the federal government on issues like the EPA and others where he thinks that the federal government is engaged in overreach. What is your response to that? Do you think that the AG should be that involved in national cases? And also, I mean, what is your view of your appellate experience?
Well, I do have more appellate experience than him in the 14 years that I was practicing law. As a young attorney in a law firm, he had only been practicing there just over 2 years. I doubt they gave him some real responsibility while he was in that law firm. And then he became a law professor. So while he touts his experience, I question how much he had real hands-on experience other than doing research in a law library. For 14 years, I was actually a lawyer in a private practice, actually doing appellate work, and then in prosecutor's office, handling a case that went to the Missouri Supreme Court. And so when you're looking at this office, it is the office that defends and tries to uphold every single felony conviction from around the state. So all 115 elected prosecutors, when they get their felony convictions, it is the Attorney General's office that goes to the Court of Appeals to try and make sure they uphold that when someone is appealing their conviction. I think if you're going to do that, you ought to have at some point known why the prosecutor picked the jury they did. Why did the prosecutor use this evidence? Why did the prosecutor pick this witness over that witness? If you want to defend those cases, you probably ought to have done the work in the first place. And my opponent simply has never been in a Missouri courtroom or actually been in a trial.
Now, I wanted to ask you about a specific issue that we asked your opponent, and that is a proposal that would, whenever there is a situation where a police officer kills somebody, the Attorney General's office would look into it and decide whether to prosecute it. It was actually one of the first recommendations of the Ferguson Commission report. As somebody who was a county prosecutor, I think that you could probably shed some light on this with a bit more insight, but I'd be interested to hear your opinion about that.
Well, thank you for asking that, because as prosecutor for 10 years, I did have some of those cases. And, you know, there's two things going on when you're a prosecutor. One of them is that there is a legal conflict of interest, and you are to follow the law and make sure that you get a special prosecutor when you have those legal conflicts. The other is, as a prosecutor, you want to look at what is the appearance of impropriety. And so even though you may not have a legal obligation to ask for a special prosecutor, if you feel that there's an appearance of impropriety, you ought to be asking for a special prosecutor. Now, it is up to each individual elected prosecutor to ask by filing a motion with the court for a special prosecutor, and it is the judge who determines who they're going to send that out to as a special prosecutor. The Attorney General's office doesn't necessarily have any real strength other than just talking to that prosecutor and discussing whether or not they think it should go out. I, as an attorney general, would have those discussions. I think as a prosecutor, you need to really take a step back and make sure that you're always doing the right thing, even when there's an appearance of impropriety.
If you are elected Attorney General, you're going to be seen as the top law enforcement official in the state of Missouri. And this is a state over the last couple of years which has seen wrenching issues with a divide between law enforcement and African Americans. Now, even if you're not the person to effectuate the policy, even if it's the legislature or local police departments or local city councils, people may still look for you to leadership and to provide just a sense of guidance about how to proceed. I'd be interested to hear what your philosophical approach is going to be to deal with this divide I just talked about, and what role the Attorney General's office should play in the public policy debate going forward.
Thank you for asking that, because I've been campaigning on that since a year ago last August, because I think that the next Attorney General has not only an opportunity but a responsibility to roll up their sleeves and to start talking about the tensions that exist. And so I have the Fraternal Order of Police endorsement. I will start November 9th trying to bring people together to start talking about these very tensions. So when we look at Ferguson and we know what it has meant to the country, nationally they've been looking at Missouri and Ferguson. It would be nice to be the state, as Missouri, that leads the charge throughout the country, that brings folks together, FOP, and brings together Black Lives Matter, clergy, elected officials, civic leaders, and says, what do we want to do? Let people come together and start having those discussions. If you don't bring folks together, you never start that step. And so I would like to be that person. I think if you're the top law enforcement officer of the state of Missouri, you ought to be making that effort to bring folks together.
Now, there are going to be some in the Black Lives Matter, the activist community, that see candidates with a Fraternal Order of Police endorsement and may see that as a negative because they don't feel police unions are a force for policy change here. I know you kind of alluded to it in your previous statement, but I'd like you to respond to people that may have those concerns and how you're going to be able to transcend that expressed concern, essentially.
Well, and that's the point, that everybody should have a place at the table. And so Black Lives Matter, FOP, law enforcement and FOP, you know, they do have a specific section of this. I think that Black Lives Matter have a specific section of this. I think clergy, I think that elected officials, I think bringing civic leaders. You have some tremendous civic leaders in St. Louis area, some real pockets of inspiration, that if we can bring these folks together and we just talk about just coming to the table, we want everybody to have a place at the table. We want everybody to have the opportunity to be heard. And so I hope that they will all come together for that very reason, that they want to be a part of the discussions as we go forward. You're right. It's going to be a difficult climb, but it is worth the effort. Is it worth taking that step? And I think if you're the top law enforcement officer of the state of Missouri, you ought to be ready to start doing that.
And this was a question, again, I asked your opponent, and this may be something that you may have a little bit more insight in. Cass County is kind of a suburban, rural-ish county. Mm-hmm. I think that oftentimes the Attorney General's office gets ensnared in agriculture issues, whether it be federal or state. What's kind of your general philosophy, and what's your general philosophy going to be toward the agriculture realm if you're Attorney General, and what policies would you want as much as you possibly can through the Attorney General's office to help farmers, ranchers, and anybody else in rural Missouri?
Well, we do want to protect family farms. My father-in-law is from northwest Missouri, where he has hundreds and hundreds of acres of farmland. I have a brother-in-law who is a cattleman in North Clay County. It's important that we are taking care and protecting at the family farm, just as it is every Missourian that has issues. And so I'd be very, very concerned about making sure that I am protecting their interests.
That's Teresa Hensley, the Democratic candidate for Missouri Attorney General. She spoke with political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum for the Politically Speaking podcast. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.